Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Welcome to There Overcame broadcast. We are here to give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that is due his name, because he's worthy, honey. You know he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy.
He's so worthy. And we just praise him for this day. And good morning, everybody. We just praise God for another day that he has allowed us to see. As I sit here in the spot that I usually come in during this broadcast, looking out the window, seeing the sun shining, reflecting off the trees, it's just a beautiful sight, especially considering the weather situations that we had here in the South earlier this week that kind of hampered the city. But we just know that God is in control, and we just thank him for his goodness and how he just keeps us and blesses us. And we just love him, and we just thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen. And we are your hosts, Albert and Billy Burns, to the Overcame broadcast. And we're just so happy to be here, so happy to be used by God to give his name glory and honor. And this has been a week. We, of course, are living in North Carolina, but we're from states that have a lot of snow, so the snow that we've gotten here is small to us, but such a big deal for those that are from these parts. They're just not used to the snow that we've gotten. So the kids have been out of school all week. I know our little grandson had maybe one day, a couple of days of school this week, but we just praise God. I was able to spend a lot of time with him this week, and thanking God for that. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to live. He is our life and our breath. Hallelujah. And we just praise him. We praise him. We praise him. Well, while we're waiting for our guest, babe, you want to open us up with prayer.
Father, in Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. And we just praise you, Lord God, for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you and we praise you for your power and your might. We thank you, Lord God, for our salvation, for saving our souls. Thank you that salvation is free, that you freely laid down your life that we could have eternal life. We thank you that you said, whosoever will, let him come. We thank you, Lord God, that salvation is for everybody, neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, rich nor poor. It has nothing to do with one's race or background, but we just thank you that your arms, your love is open to the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall have eternal life. And we just thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you for every listener that is tuned in today, and we pray that you will allow their eyes to be opened, their ears to hear what is being said by the Lord and of the Lord, that they will know at the end of this broadcast that they have encountered you, and that they will know that they can turn to you, that they can express their faith in you and be saved. In the name of Jesus, we just pray, Lord God, that your anointing be upon this broadcast. Every word that is spoken, every piece of music that is played, Father, every thought, we ask that you guide it, Lord God, and let it go throughout these airways throughout cyberspace, throughout the world, that men and women will know that they can turn to you, that they have a friend in you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Lift up bowed down heads. Hallelujah. Encourage those that are discouraged. Heal those that need healing in the name of Jesus, because they have heard these words and have increased their faith in you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for our guest today that has consented to come on and share the testimony of your goodness in her life. In the name of Jesus, we just pray blessings continually upon her. Hallelujah, that she will continue to be blessed and spread the word throughout this world. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this ministry. Let it continue, Lord God, and let it grow and let it go across this globe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, while we're waiting for our guest to join us, honey, you know, it's just a blessing to know that there are people out there that are willing to give their testimonies, that are willing to not expose themselves, but I guess in a way they are exposing the things that of their former life or things that they're going through, you know, now that no one may not be aware of them going through. But God has given us this platform, and we just are so grateful to God for just the opportunity to lift up his name.
Amen. And I think there's kind of a common word that's being used today, especially among leaders and those about, and that word is transparency, how that people are willing to just be transparent and not be so ashamed of what they have gone through or what they have been. Not that we are proud of those things, but we are just grateful that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, that those things that we are remembering, we could still be in those ways. We could still be as messed up as we used to be. We still could be on the path that we were going down, which was the wrong path. But because God has kept us and turned us around, and we just thank God that men and women are willing to not hide their past, but boldly proclaim the grace of God in changing their path.
Yes, we don't know who our testimony may be able to help, who needs to hear that God is a saving God, who can take you through anything, that can make you an overcomer of adverse situations. We've had some awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies on this broadcast in the 2 years that we've been here. And when I hear the testimony, I know that you have said, and I see that our guest is on the line, and I'm going to open up her line. But I see that, I mean, you often say that we are in awe of the things that God does, but why should we be in awe? Because of the kind of God that we serve. So I just thank God for the broadcast, thank God for the opportunity to host it and to be able every week to hear the things that God is doing in the lives of his people. And I'm opening up the line of our guest this morning, Sister Sharon Hampton. But my computer is not opening. Babe, can you open her up? Are you able to do that?
Yes. Yes, Sandra, you should be open now.
Okay. This is Sharon.
Sandra. Well, it's still coming. I have a little difficulty.
It's twirling. We'll let you know as soon as it gets open. But like I was saying, we have had some testimonies. If you're not inspired by some of the things that our guests have said, and if you're not, if it doesn't build your faith, I've adopted the motto of building faith one testimony at a time, because it does build your faith. It does allow you to see the things that God is able to do and the things that God will do for his people. Amen. Amen. Well, we are experiencing a little difficulty with this board, but hang on, sister. We'll get you up as soon as you can. But this is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that the devil can do to stop what God is doing. There are no doors that the devil can close that God has opened. There are no doors that the devil can open that God has closed. So we just praising God, hallelujah, and thanking him for this day. As my husband said, this beautiful day. We don't have full sunlight, but we have sunlight. And every time I say that word, sunlight, honey, I think about the song that Elder Wonders used to sing, Sunlight, Sunlight in My Soul Today. That's an old song. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since my Savior found me and took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Trying to let our guest, well, she can hear me. I don't know what's happening. It's not, sis, maybe if you hang up and call back, we'll be able to connect you. I don't know what's happening. Amen. Well, she can hear me. We just can't get her on. But we just, like I said, the testimonies that we've had testimonies of people being dead. We've had testimonies of people that should be maybe in a wheelchair because of a fall that they've experienced. We've had testimonies of people overcoming drugs and overcoming illnesses. And oh my God, we've been so blessed to hear the testimonies that have gone forth over this broadcast, babe, in the 2 years that we've been on. It's just been an awesome thing. It's just been an awesome, awesome thing. Amen. Well, you're on, sis. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
All is well, and that is not, it shall be.
Amen. Such a good outlook on things. You know, sometimes we're stopped. I was reading something yesterday that Steve Jobs said, and he said sometimes life hits you in the head like a brick. He said, but don't lose faith. Hallelujah. Don't lose your faith because God is in control. That's my motto for the last, motto, I keep saying model, but motto for the last couple of years. God is in control no matter what it looks like, no matter how we think or we feel like we're not going to be able to overcome an obstacle. Giants do fall. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are honored to have you and to hear your testimony because we know that you have an awesome testimony for us. But before you get, well, I always say this, and I have to say that I feel like our lives are testimonies from birth. We have people that were born dead. We have people that died shortly after they were born, and God brought them back. But our life is a testimony. So before you get into your main testimony, please tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, and I know that you're in Arkansas, and I don't personally know you, but God has divinely connected the broadcast and us with people that he wants to be on the air. I have my idea, and I've called people and sent text messages out and hit them up on Facebook. And I know people have awesome testimonies, but everybody is not willing to give their testimony. So we just praise God for you giving your testimonies, and give us a little bit about yourself before you get into your main testimony. Do you have a funeral this morning?
No, thank God. Okay. No, I don't.
Amen.
day of rest.
Amen.
Yes. Well, I was born and raised here in Little Rock, Arkansas. All of my 54 years been here, and this is my home. This is where God has domiciled me, and he's yet blessed me here in the city of Little Rock, Arkansas. High school graduate, college degree, licensed ordained minister, anointed, appointed by God, apostle, honorary doctorate degree in divinity. And just love people. When you love God, you love people. And my family has a baby of, I'm the last of, my mom and dad had six children. And they laid a foundation for us. And it's a solid foundation. You know, I would always see my mom, she would always be singing, if I can help somebody as I travel along the way, then my living is not in vain. And that's what I've always seen her and my father. They're going on to glory now. But that's what they always did. They helped people. It didn't matter if, you know, people came from their hometown to come here to the UAMS Medical Center. They made room for them. She cooked. She fed them. Whatever was needed to be done to help someone else, my parents did that. I saw my mom sit at the kitchen table and help people fill out applications, and just if it was something that you didn't know, she was going to find out so that you would know. She would always say, knowing is half the battle, now what are you going to do? So now currently I work with students with the Philander Smith College Upward Bound program. I'm a recruiter there, been there since 2008. And basically, I teach life skills. Alongside that, I am a licensed final expense burial insurance counselor, which is a ministry. Everything that I do is a ministry. And in that ministry, I'm able to sit down and share with people, and they pre-plan their funeral so that they won't leave a burden on their family. But overall, I just want to be submissive and obedient to the will of the Father.
Amen, amen. That reminds me, this is a little sidebar, when I was in my early 20s, actually right out of high school, I dated a guy who got a job doing that, and we had talked about getting married, and he told me that he was going to get this plot for he and I together. And I wasn't ready for that. In my early 20s. That's a little sidebar. Now that we've gotten older, we do see the significance of having those prearrangements so that you're not a burden on your family.
Absolutely. And it's the necessary thing because people don't understand. You know, the Bible tells you man born of a woman is what? Of a few days. But even in the sense of making separation so that, and a lot of people don't understand. You can't grief and stress. It doesn't mix like oil and water, put it like that.
Right.
People are left
right.
to... But you still have to live after that person has gone on to glory.
Yes. Yes, and as you don't think that you can, life goes on after your loved ones are gone. It's painful, but life does go on. And so we have to be prepared. The Bible says, in all seasons, to be ready. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am currently in the process of publishing a book that God gave me. I like to write. And the book is entitled No Place Too Far. The God I Serve Will Meet You Right Where You Are. And it's a book of poetry for grieving people.
Amen. Well, you have to be sure you let us know, and we will announce it over the broadcast so that people, you know, it's just it's a shame how when that time comes, how a lot of people don't look at it as a ministry and take advantage of people. You know, take advantage of them. So, amen. Amen. Well, get into your testimony. I actually am was introduced to Sister Sharon through someone else that I haven't physically met, but in close in heart, Sister Charlene, right?
Yes.
Or was Charlene
Charlene.
One of the...
Sister
okay.
Charlene.
Charlene. Yeah, she has introduced us to the broadcast to a number of people, and it's been such a blessing to hear the things that God is doing in their lives. And so... You can start your testimony. Let us know about our great God.
And if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today. You know, we go through life and we're searching for our purpose and who we are in Christ Jesus. And I know that my life is founded on love, unconditional love. Regardless of your circumstance or your situation, I love you, and that's just what God has placed into me, to give people unconditional love. And growing up, that's something that you have to, as you learn how to, I guess, give that out, and then we forget about the tough love that goes along with the unconditional love. But growing up, like I said, I love God and loving people, and went through some changes in my life. You know, your first love, you go through some changes, and because you think, oh, my first love, we're going to be together forever, and something happens, and you don't know how to handle your emotions or your feelings. I was a person that never, you know, drank or smoked or anything like that, and got involved with my friends. They were my friends. Let me just say that. They were my childhood friends. And got involved and one is curious as to where they were going and what they were doing. And they would always say, no, Sharon, you can't go. And one day I think it just happened that, okay, I'm going to go just to see what was going on. Got introduced to drugs, and one thing led to another. You know, you can start off smoking marijuana. You can drink a little drink, whatever. And because people don't understand this, the first, you only get high one time. And then you, then when that wears off, and you begin to look for something else, a stronger high, which led to pills. And when I say pills, I'm talking about Teas and Blues, Preludes, Percodines, things like that. And we came to a point where we began to experiment, breaking them down, crushing them, and we began to use them through intravenously, cocaine mixed in speedballs. But God is God, hallelujah. God is a good God, because when you are unlearned on things, sharing needles, wanting to get an ultimate high, who takes half of a 25-cent paper of cocaine and puts 5 cc's of water on it? Heart racing. Literally, you can hear your heart beating through your ears, if that makes sense to you. You understand what I'm saying? And then, but you know, having enough sense to call on the name of Jesus. What is her name? Helen Baylor. And she said, yes. Praying grandmother.
Yeah.
But just but through that experience, God birthed my purpose in my life. Like I said, I love to write, and I thank God for saving me. I thank God for loving me enough to save me, to keep me healthy as a horse, as we speak. Two children through it all. They don't have any birth defects. They're very bright, intelligent young people. They have the activities of their limbs. And they, you know, went to school, honor roll students. My daughter is, she's 30 now. She lives in Brooklyn, New York. My son, he's 27, and he's here. He works for FedEx and the Agriculture Department. But I thank God that, you know, through what I went through, it didn't have an effect on them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, God will take us through some things to get us to where we see him more clearly. We follow him more dearly, and we love him dearly. It was just an experience where I came to a point where just out of love, because you love, because I'm a free-hearted person, you know, I'll give you the clothes off my back, I'll give you the shoes off my feet. I would be able to take money and get all of my friends high, and didn't get high by myself, you know, to get all of my friends high. And then it came to a point where they were leaving me. They would go and get high and not call me. But then after the fact of them getting high with someone else, then they would call me ready, because you already have a date with someone.
Right.
And then they would call me. So then I learned that, okay, so you guys want to get high with someone else. Now that high is coming down, so you want to use me to get another high. So God says in the Word of God, he will make a way for you to escape. So God began to pull me away from my friends, and I went to work every day. Now that's, make that clear, a working junkie, okay? Went to work every day, saved money, plotted to know how to get my drugs, and God began to pull me aside from my friends. So I became an in-house junkie. I went to work, got my drugs on the way home, on the weekend or whatever, whenever I wanted them. And I stayed in my room and I got high, but I wasn't alone. And see, people don't understand God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's in the midst of it all. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5 and maybe 18, and he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
So even in the sense, in that point of getting high, I began to write. And through writing, God was releasing that demon of drugs. He was delivering me. I tell people all the time, you have to go back whenever, so whatever happens in your life from the first point that you met Christ Jesus, that's how, each time, that's how you go back to him. So whenever things go on in my life, I have to go back to him. I met him as a deliverer.
Yeah.
So I have to go back. And I asked him, Lord, deliver me from this, deliver me from that. So through that process of writing, he let me know that our trials come to make us strong, to see how our faith in God is grown. And that even when you can't, you're at the end of your rope, you don't have to cope with the dope, because he is the one with the hope. And I thank God for just coming into my life the way he came in. And what would happen would be that I would get high. I would, every time I would purge it in to my veins, my body always stayed moist and wet. But every time I would purge it into my veins, and God is so awesome, he would cleanse me. He would run it. He would purge it right back out. You know, and things, he would speak to me. And you hear the voice of the Lord saying that you don't have to be this way. It won't be this way always. I'm going to make a way for you to escape. And people don't want to go through the process. We have to go through the process of the pain to get to the promise. And I tell you, it was, I think, 9 years. But in that 9th year, October the 14th, 1987, it was surely, Jesus said, it was early one morning, just about the break of day. And Jesus came to my room and he washed my sins away.
Yes, Lord.
That last time, my daughter was 3 and my son was about 3 months old. And had ran some drugs. And you know how people, drug addicts, you know, we'll stay up all night, we'll stay up 2 or 3 days. But our body will shut, your body will shut down. And I did a hit, and I found myself on the floor in between the baby bed and the bed, my son in the baby bed and my daughter in the bed. And I found myself on the floor, actually unconscious. But I heard the voice of the Lord say, do you want to lay here and die, or do you want to get up and live? Because out of your life, you do have something to give. And from that day, I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And his loving kindness towards me. Even in the, just to know that he loved me enough to revive me, to restore me.
Yes.
And from that day, my father had a trash burner, if you're familiar with the tin barrel, you know, they burned trash back in the day.
Yes.
And I could not wait to get, because I knew that he burned trash, I could not wait to get to my parents' house to go to that backyard and to burn everything that I had. My marijuana, my cocaine, my T's and Blues, my Preludes, my Benson and Hedges menthol. I poured my cognac down the toilet, but I could not wait to get there, the place I was to burn it. And I thank God that he allowed me to wake up. You know, they say weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. morning is not necessarily a.m. It's when you wake up.
Amen.
And from that point on, it was God freed me. He delivered me. He delivered me from myself. And from that point on, it was just a freedom in my life to know that I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, we can, my brother and his wife, they took me to a rehab. And if this wasn't something that I, you know, to be here in this place with these people, I never checked in. We went to, you know, we looked for different places. And my spirit was, you know what? In my spirit it was that I didn't pay to get this. God is going to deliver me. Because, you know, when some places you go in, they want to pay a fee to keep you there. And I trust God, and He delivered me. He set my soul free. So now what I'm able to do is just to share with people. And I heard you, your husband, he talked about transparency. And
yeah.
That's the thing right there. We don't want to be transparent with people. People can say, how are you doing? And we'll say, we're all right, and we're dying. We don't want to share because people have been hurt so much. But when you love, and you love with the love of Christ Jesus, you know, I say that love isn't love until you give it away. Christ Jesus, He loved on His way to the cross. In the Word of God, you never see Him go back and say, I did this for you or I did that for you. So within that experience of life, it was a foundation that love is unconditional. And when we can love with the love of Christ Jesus, we're able to help someone else. And when He talked about being transparent, no test, no testimony, He said we overcame by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
If I can't share my testimony to help someone, I keep them in bondage.
Yes. Yes. I often say if you don't know who your testimony is helping, who your testimony is letting someone know that, well, if God did it for her, He could do it for me. Or if He did it for him, He surely can do it for me. My situation is not as bad as that situation. But sometimes we just need to hear that someone has overcome a situation for us to know. It may not even be the same situation that we're going through. Just the fact that God is there with the person. So, amen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I needed to break because I get started and keep it rolling. But that's awesome because, you know what, there's no... for every problem, there is a solution.
Yes.
And as believers, we have to, what God does for us, we have to let them know that He can do it for you because He's no respecter person.
Absolutely.
And we humbly submit ourselves through the love of Christ Jesus. So many people, I hear God say to me, the Holy Spirit speaks and lets me know that you have other people's deliverance in your hand. They're waiting on you.
Yeah.
So,
don't say
so I thank
again.
God that,
I say that all the time. You don't know who, you know, God has assigned people that will only hear our voice, will only hear what we have to say. And when you don't share, you know, your experiences, and not to put anybody down, but not to say that you don't share your experiences, but this is such a broad base that you can give your testimony on. You have your small group, but this broadcast goes around the world. So when you get on this broadcast and share your testimony can help someone in India, or your testimony can help somebody in Africa. You never know. We had a call from the UK the first year that we were broadcasting. We got a call from the UK. So our broadcast is heard around the world. Give your testimony. Don't keep it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because, you know, God tells us, you know, that you have a nation of people on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And when we reach out, you know, then it doesn't matter because the language of love reaches everyone. The language of God's love. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should do what? And that's the language of love right there. And when we can come to that point and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how, and what it does in your life, and then you can pass it on to someone else, then the world keeps turning. The world keeps turning. But God is just I can't begin to tell you, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, not just for me, but just for my family. God knows who he will raise up to pray and to help other people. He has to give you something on the inside of you to help someone else to gain strength to know him. And through that part of my life, I know that he's able. Because, you know, it's like, you got to know, I'm not going to a rehab. God is my rehab. God rehabilitated me. Because he had to take the taste out of my mouth.
Yeah.
People can go into rehab, and I'm not knocking rehab. They can go into rehab, but if they have not prayed for deliverance to take that taste out of their mouth, they'll spend that 3 months or whatever it is, 6 months, and then they'll go back out and something will trigger and they will go right back to that. And what does he say? It's when you sweep the house clean, you got to fill it with something.
Yeah.
So during the process, God was filling my temple with his words. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But God also knew that my mom would not be able to handle a drug addict with two children and lose her husband of 50 years. God delivered me October 1987. My dad passed away March 1988. And God knew that she wouldn't be able to, that would be too much for her to bear. So in the sense of that, God brought me to the forefront to speak life to my family, to speak life to my mom. You know, sometimes they think the when you're the weakest link, but he said, what does he say about weakness? In your weakness,
he'll
does what?
He'll be your strength. Yes, Lord. Yes, let the weak say, I am strong.
I am strong. Yes. And he prepares us. He prepares us for the things to come. So through that process, I was able to. My mom had a stroke in October 1998, and I was able to take care of her from October 1998 until the day she passed away in August 2009. I was her caregiver. She would always call on me, my brother. She's in a nursing home. My brother to be there and things would go wrong, and she would always tell him, call Sharon so she can come and take care of it. And I said, God, I thank you for endowing me with your strength.
Yes.
And the courage. But through that, I learned warfare. I learned spiritual warfare. When my daughter was 17, she was diagnosed with cancer, and I lay in my bed, and her tumor was the size of a grapefruit, stage 4, but God, say it again,
hallelujah.
But God.
Hallelujah.
And, I lay in my bed, and I would always keep my TV on to the Christian station, And I heard Bishop Jake in my spirit, and he was talking about how the devil does this and the devil does that, and when does enough become enough? He said, but when the enemy begins to mess with your children, you raise up like a mama bear. And
yes.
I had a vivid picture. Yeah, so I had a vivid picture in my mind. And I tell people, your memory is the most powerful weapon that you can have. So Jeremiah said, and this I recall to mind. And I had a vivid picture in my mind of some cubs outside playing, and the mama bear was back doing something, and she could sense danger. And she ran out, and she grabbed her cubs up in one arm, and with the other hand, she swatted whatever was, you know, threatening them. And that night, it was like tongues began to flow, and it was just like warfare for my daughter. My daughter, she went to school every morning for her zero-hour class, and after her zero-hour class, I would take her for an hour of radiation, and she would go back to school. On Saturdays, she would have 8 hours of chemo, get up off the table, and go on about her business. Hair never fell out. God is good. And then she began to minister to me about this is just a speed bump. God wants me to slow down so that I can know my purpose in life. But God spoke in my spirit that even in the 12th grade graduating from high school, Ezekiel saw the wheel, and the big wheel turned by faith and the little wheel by the grace of God. He said, she has to come out of your faith to walk into her own.
Yes. Yes.
And she went to college. God delivered, you know, the oncologist was saying, well, we'll do her tumor is too big for surgery. We'll shrink it, and then we'll do surgery. She didn't have to have surgery at all.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, yeah. And he has a degree in mass communications. Awesome young lady. She followed her dreams. She knows her purpose in life. She left here when she was, left Little Rock when she was 23 and moved to Brooklyn, New York. And it's been on a journey. She works for Covenant House. And so the legacy is being passed down. She works for Covenant House.
Yeah.
Covenant House is a place that, are you familiar with Covenant House?
No.
Covenant House, they go out into the street and they bring in young people off the street for shelter and to give, help them to get an education. So she goes out into the streets of New York under bridges, and she brings young people into the shelter, into safety, so that they can have some stability in their life. If I can help
Amen.
Somebody as I travel along the way, then my living
yeah.
is not in vain. Yeah. Yeah. And I talk to my children, you know, and I let them know you don't have to do drugs because I did enough for everybody. Do something different. I tell young people today, don't sit where I sat, don't lay where I lay, don't do what I did.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
there's more to it than that. Because it'll take you to a place where you don't want to go, and it'll make you stay longer than you want to stay and pay a price that you don't want to pay.
Yes. And everybody doesn't escape.
Absolutely.
Everyone
Absolutely.
Doesn't escape from that. Amen. Wow.
And, you know, when you say that everybody doesn't escape, and it's so awesome because God is God is able. He's able to do what he wants to do, what he wants to do, and how
yes.
he wants to do
yes.
it.
Yes.
And when God delivered me, he delivered me, I'm going to say 6 to 7 months before they start talking about crack cocaine. See, back then, you know, we didn't know. It was out there, but it wasn't publicized. And I thank God for that because, you know, as much as I love to get high, smoking crack, I saw a little thing absolutely dead. So I said, God, you know how to deliver. you know how to yeah. to set people free, when to do it.
Amen. He definitely knows how to do it. We just have to ask him. We
right.
definitely have to ask him. I mean, we can sit back and, you know that we're parched, our throat is parched, and the glass of water is sitting within our reach. We never reach out and pick that glass up and drink. We'll stay parched. And eventually mm-hmm. die, because our body needs water. And that's what happened. We don't ask God. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, when I get myself together, if you could get mm-hmm. yourself together, Jesus
okay, right.
would not have had to die on the cross if we
mm-hmm.
were able to do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Savior that is that so loved us. I say this all the time. He's so loved us that he died on the cross seeing what we were going to go through. He wasn't surprised by your life and what happened in your life. He's not surprised by any of our lives. He knows what we're going to go through, and he yet still died for us. Hallelujah. Ah,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's so awesome, you know, I thank God for his grace and his mercy towards me, and again allowing him to have full reign in my life, full force in my life, you know. And God always so quick in my spirit, you know, if I'm trying to go left, but I'm supposed to be going right, you know, and he'll give me a refresher for it. One day it was like, when was the last time that you looked into the mirror? When was the last time that you looked into the mirror of your soul for the real truth of you to unfold? So when I sat there and I said, God, he said, I still yet have working on you. I'm yet have you on the wheel. There are some other areas that I need you to travel into.
Yeah.
And just being able to be obedient to his will. Some people will see people hurting and they won't, that person that's hurting won't say anything, but God has given you discernment to go to that person in the spirit of love. I have
yeah.
people that I don't know that I'm being connected with through other people that say, I need you to speak to so-and-so because I don't know what to say to them. And making connections, and especially with my son and my daughter, you know, they introduce me to people all the time to minister to. And I thank God for that. And I tell people, you know what, I'm humbled and I'm honored that God would use me as his vessel. So and in confidence and in love, and we share. And it doesn't go any further than between, you know, me, them, and God. And that's what we've got to try to rebuild, that foundation of love, loyalty, and trust.
Yeah.
And when that happens, people will begin to get delivered. They'll begin to be totally set free. And I thank him for, even with Miss Charlene, you know, introducing me to work at the halfway house, but being able to go there and just to share my testimony with the people that come into the halfway house and being transparent with them. I
yeah.
don't look like what I've been through. Right.
Amen. I'm just in awe. Your legacy, your mom's legacy is going on through, and I think a lot of people miss that. We're born into families, and we all have legacies, but how many of us are living them or walking, you know, toward the goal that God has? The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before, I press, I will see. I press. I see your press, and I thank God. I thank God for it. Thank God for it. Well, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sister Sharon. Just so in awe. I don't know what other word to use, but because I haven't experienced that, I've experienced my own thing, but I haven't experienced being on drugs. I've used drugs before, but not necessarily had developed a habit for them. But to be able to continue to work, and that has to be God, to be able to do your education, that has to be God. For your children to come here and nothing wrong with them, no effects of the drug on them, that has to be God. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a coincidence. God is in full control. He's in full control. The enemy will try to divert. You know, he will try to divert the plans of God, but he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance. Can't stop
God.
Not.
He's a defeated foe.
Yes, he is. And as Pastor Richard Hinton says, that he's just a what is it, honey? He says that he's just he delivers stuff, but he's not in control. He can't control what happens once he delivers it, whether it'll be accepted or whether it'll be rejected. And he thinks that he is winning. He thinks that he is winning, but Jesus showed him that he was not winning when he used his device of the cross to bring salvation to the world.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so awesome because I share with people, when you read the Word of God, you read it. It is what it is. It's exactly what it is. You know, we don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to take anything away from it. Because in Isaiah 54:17, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah.
He tells it, the weapon may form, but it won't prosper. But even in the weapon forming, God is taking you to another level of living. No test, no testimony. You know, and even we go back and he asks Satan, you know, what he was doing. He said, I'm going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. But God had enough faith in Job to know, okay, I'm going to have you try my servant Job. And sometimes we have to say that in our lives. Have you tried my servant Sharon? Have you tried my servant Billy? They're faithful. They're grounded and rooted. So he just sharpens us when our tests come. It's to sharpen us. Is to take us to I believe that when we go through and we get past level, God takes us to another dimension of living. You get that eagle faith to know that you 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 know. And you don't have to worry. Yeah. What is it in Philippians 4:6-9 when he talks about don't worry about anything, but pray about everything? With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God.
Yeah.
But he tells you to keep your mind on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, proper. And so you know, you go back. So just like I said, I go back to that point where if God delivered me from a life of drugs, and my son is 27, he's going to be 28. So if God can deliver me and keep me, I thank him. I know that he can deliver those other little things in my life.
Yeah.
And the enemy, he will come in and try to, he'll always try to take you back now. He'll do that because for
me.
I can't. Right, I can't. I can't keep oranges in my house too long when they start going bad because it smells like cheese and blues.
Really?
That's a drug that we used to crush. Yeah, that's a drug that we used to crush up and shoot. And so I tell the devil, you a lie, because I won't go back. Because I made a vow to God, a vow, V-O-W.
Yeah.
God gives me victory over warfare, okay? So I can't go back because I made a vow, I made a covenant with the Lord. If I turn back to that, kill me, take my life. But then he reminds me that you have something to give. I have purpose for your life. And we
like the Apostle Paul said, it's better for me to be with God for me, but not for you. I need to be here for you.
Absolutely. And it's so awesome. And God is looking for us to be bold, to stand flat foot and tell the devil no. No, period, point blank. And to call him on the carpet. Sometimes we have to call ourselves on the carpet as well. You know, we can get complacent and the enemy will try to take you back down that road. I won't go back. I won't go back. And I tell people in when I speak to them in the rehab, you know, it's about you. Whatever you're harboring about your parents or your sisters or your brothers, let it go. And especially with our parents. Our parents are the vessels that God used to get us here. Now, what are you going to do? You can't live for them and they can't live for you. Because one day, it's going to be a final curtain call. Your mom or your dad is going to close their eyes and what happens to you. And I talk to people about being enablers. You're helping them kill themselves. I sat one day and it was, you know, and I thought about it and I was like, oh my God. At least one of my brothers, you know, he and his wife were trying to make that connect. And I was thinking about my other brother, my sister, and I thought, they knew I was doing these drugs and they was letting me kill myself. But I couldn't blame them because I had to want to be free. A person has to want to be free. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I just, like I said, I just thank God.
Well, I thank God for you. Babe, did you have anything to say?
No, just listening and just in awe again of how good and faithful God is in the lives of His people. And I did think about one of the things you said about how that when Satan talked about going to and fro and just seeking who he may devour, and how God just said, "Well, have you checked out my servant Job?" And just kind of alluded to something that probably have thought about before, but it just came to me that sometimes we just know, in your case and in all of our case, that God does have His hands on us. It's just amazing because when we look at our surroundings that we grew up in and the different directions that those who were even close to us, whether they were good friends, family members, just acquaintances, schoolmates, whatever, some things that have happened to them that could just as well have happened to us, which just makes the miracle of salvation just a mind-blowing experience anyway, because millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones, and it wasn't me that chose him, but he chose me. But at the same time, when we look at those things, how Satan, how God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan's response was interesting because he said, kind of paraphrasing, no, now, Lord, you know that there's nothing I can do with Job because you have him protected. You've got him. So, I mean, I guess his short answer or modern answer would be, no, I haven't even wasted my time thinking about Job because I know you got him. And that's how we are. God's got us. And then even when he does allow things to come to us or allow Satan to put his hands on us, it's not, we are not given over to Satan, but it's just so that in the end, the grace of God can really be exhibited, that God will be glorified, just as with Job. Job went through that. We go through things. You went through things. But in the end, God was glorified because all along his hand was on you. His hand is on us all along. That's why the writer said that with every trial, with every temptation, God has already declared and put in place a way of escape so that we won't be lost in that thing. And that's just again, as my wife was saying, I say this all the time, God is just so amazing. He's God, so why are we amazed? Because he's able to do any and everything, but it's still mind-blowing, the things that he does. Eyes have not, and it's so much that eyes have not even seen, nor ears heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, what the great things that God. So there's even more to come, not only in the next life, but even in this life, there's more to come. And we just thank God for that. And I thank God for you coming on and sharing your testimony, being transparent. You all stop me if I'm talking too much, because every now and then I don't say much, but then every now and then I get a little carried away. So help me when you need to. When you feel like I need help, help me. But recently we just had a series of messages at our church. It was called Scandal. And where we went through the genealogy of Jesus, how that, and the leadership chose the four women that were mentioned in that genealogy and their lives, their scandalous lives. And it wasn't just the women. It wasn't just those four women. I think he just chose that because they wanted to do this in four messages. But just so you could pick out a lot of names. I mean, they picked out Bathsheba, but you could have picked out David as well. Rahab, you could have picked out anybody. Talked about Ruth, but you could have picked out her husband as well because he was in a place that he had not no business being. But how in all of that, they had lives that when you look at the details of them could be looked at as so scandalous. But in the end, when they talked about, proudly talked about, this is where our Lord Jesus came from. This is the line that they came from. Their names were mentioned because they were still used to the glory of God. Our scandalous past are not anything to be ashamed of, but just a testimony of where God has brought us from. And therefore, the old song, look where he brought me from. He brought me out of practice into this marvelous life. Just look where he brought me from. And I'm going to stop right there.
It's okay, preacher.
Sorry, y'all.
That's okay. Then.
And when he says, look where he brought me from, he says, you know, his blood washes me white as snow.
Yeah. And not that it's easy, because it's not easy. I remember some of the mothers from back home, and they would say, God will deliver you out of stuff that you like.
Mm-hmm.
That's detrimental to you. You know, that's not the way that he would have you to go. And you like it, and you don't really want to stop doing it. But if you ask, God, God, you know, this is not good for me. So I need your help. And he is there. He's there to help us. I know that you found that to be true, because you said that you like doing your drugs.
Mm-hmm. And we wrestle with that thing. We wrestle with staying or moving forward, because, you know, in the wrestle is, I don't fit in with these people. How do I fit in with other people when you've been in this lane? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's when God says, I've got more, there's more to you than this. You know, and you don't want to miss the opportunity of the time of your visitation, of your time of the arrival to move to another level of living. You know, and when you can say in your spirit, it won't, and this is what I tell people, that this too shall pass. It won't be this way always, but this too shall pass, because all of God's shells are loaded.
Yeah.
He's not shooting any blanks. But we have to be that willing vessel to surrender. To surrender and to give our lives over to him. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done.
Yeah. And God is so great that he says that he will put his will into us and then give us the desire to have his will.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, he tells us that. He says that he will put his will. He will, how does the scripture go back? He will, maybe you can help me just share. It's one of my favorite scriptures, Lord. He will work.
His perfect will.
Oh, I can't hear you, David.
Both to will and to
both
do.
Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he will put it in us, and then he'll give us the strength to do it. And then he gives us people around us. Some people are not able to overcome things by themselves, and I guess that's
right.
What I like about the programs, the drug programs. They give you sponsors, and, you know, the Bible talks about the world being more wise than the church. Sometimes we need to adapt to some of the things that are happening. We get people in here, and then we just let them go. You know, some people can be okay. I was okay. I didn't need anybody to walk along with me. I didn't need anybody to call me and say, are you going to be at church this Sunday? I was at church every time the doors opened, you know, when I got saved. But some people don't have that. Some people need somebody to call them and say, girl, you need me to pick you up, or, you know, something. Let me help you walk this walk. So,
and that's what
I
we
think
do. We bear each other's burdens. We help each other.
Yeah. We're supposed to.
We're supposed to, right.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to open up the line of our overall host, Shen. I want you to be able to speak with her. Pastor Evangelist Adrian Bernard, who is the host and overall host of this broadcast. She is on this same number not every day, Tuesday through Thursday. She comes on at 1 o'clock Pacific time. I'm trying to get her line up. For some reason, my switchboard is not working, but she's on at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man. We're having technical difficulties, but comes back on the line, let me turn you on, Pastor Bedard. Amen. Amen. You are on the air.
God bless you, Elder Burns and Minister Burns. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I just tuned in. Amen. To be blessed and hear the word. Was a little bit late getting in. Had another prayer line I had to speak on this morning. And I tell you, the Lord is just moving. I'm just full on hearing of God's testimonies and his greatness of what he has done in the lives of his people. I spoke this morning on another prayer line, and God gave me a message that I ministered years ago, the power of a witness. And I, as I lay here, you know, I took a few days and got me some seclusion to get ready for tomorrow's service. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what can I give these people, this first message, and especially among family, what can, and as I begin to just talk to the Lord and get in the word a little bit, the Lord spoke to me that the power of a witness. And I tell you, woman of God, I don't know you. Amen. I've heard a little bit of your testimony and just heard some dialogue with you all as you continued on. And I just begin to talk about, I mean, begin to even the more know that God wants effective witnesses in the earth. Amen. God will do nothing without having a witness. Amen.
Yeah.
So I just bless God for what he's doing in your life and bless God for your diligence and your faithfulness to God. For truly, God said, a faithful man will abound with blessings. And that's something, Elder Burns and Minister Burns, we rarely find in today's society, people that will be faithful, not to man, not to the pastor, not to your overseer, but faithful to God. And once you're faithful to God, everything that you desire of him, it will be manifested, and everyone will be able to witness that it's the God that's living in you. So I just bless God. I thank him. I solicit your prayers as we continue to do the work that God has assigned us to do in this region. We need much, much, much prayer. Amen. So God bless you all. We love you with the love of God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. That's my good friend. We met each other in Georgia and continued our friendship these 15 years. Continued our friendship up until this point. So even though she was in California, she left Georgia and went to California. I left Georgia and came to North Carolina, but God still divinely hooked us up. So
yeah.
I praise God for that. I'm going to open up the line. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share with us? I wanted to open up the line. We have a couple of listeners on here that may have a question or may want to say something to you. Do you have time for that?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to open up. I see Charlene is on the line, and I'm going to open up your line, and I see that my cousin James is on the line. I'm going to open up your line, you two, but I see a 347. I'm not familiar with that number. 6441, your last four. Amen. Are you there, caller? 347 is yours, James.
God bless everyone on the prayer line. I was just listening in, and God is great, good, you know. And I listened to Pastor Bernard. I listened to her show. But you know, he's wonderful. And when you believe what Jesus did on the cross, because he's gonna deliver you out of whatever you're in, and that's nothing the devil can do to you. You know.
That's right.
Satan can't do nothing, because already Satan knows where he's going at, under our feet. That's where he's supposed to be, and that's why I keep him. But I was listening to her testimony, and God bless all of you. God bless you.
Amen. May I have your name?
Leona. I'm in Nevada.
Nevada. Okay.
Yeah. And we all have testimonies, and we have to help each other because that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It ain't about us. And we give a testimony, let him know, hey, we love you, you know, but he loved us first.
Yeah.
So that's all I was there. God bless you, and I pray that, you know, that somebody could get something out of it because I got a testimony. We all got one. You know, and once you know who you belong to, who belonged to us, because he picked us. We didn't pick him. He chose us.
Yeah.
Chased me for a long time. And he caught me. I surrendered.
Amen.
I told him.
Amen. 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 Well, maybe you can come on one, Sister Leona. Maybe you can come on as a guest and give your testimony. That's why we're here. Our theme is, of course, Revelation, the 12th chapter, and says, we overcame him, who, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I have your number. I'll give you a call.
Okay. God bless you.
Okay,
keep up the good work.
Amen.
All right.
Well, keep us in your prayer. Keep us in your prayer. Okay. I'm going to open up Sister Charlene's line. Sister Charlene, are you there? She may be working this morning. She is. She's listening. Amen. Well, Sister Charlene, your line is open if you want to say something. And I'm going to open up my cousin's line. Are you there, Jimmy?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless everyone.
Amen.
God is good all the time.
Oh, yes, he is. Well, thanks for calling me, cuz inspiring.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry I missed last week. I truly overslept. I mean, because I didn't sleep all that night. And, you know, and when I woke up that morning, it was like 9:30. I'm like, oh, my God, I missed it. So I'm going to make sure that I tune in this Saturday, this morning. So.
Thank you, cuz. Thank you for your faithfulness. And speaking of overcoming, he just last year smoked his last cigarette. He's been smoking for how many years? How many years did you smoke?
Oh, my goodness. At least 40. Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, I did quit once before, I'm sorry that it took that, but I did, and that was when we lost your mother, Bill. I went back because I had stopped the year before, and when we lost your mother, then I went back, you know, but. You know, this time is so good because I asked the Lord to step in and take control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I wasn't dependent on me, you know. I asked the Lord to step in and take control, and he did. So, I mean, I did go back because we do have that, we being humans. We do have that inquisitive nature where we say, well, I wonder, you know. And so I went back and I tried it, and I did not like it at all, you know. And I've always been one to say I like smoking. I enjoy smoking. But when I went back for that, because I had a half cigarette left, and I went back to try it. And when I did that, I said, I don't like this feeling. I do not like this feeling, and thank God that you stepped in, Lord. So I have not had a desire. I haven't looked back that way. You know, I've had, you know, people, friends that I know that still smoke, and they said, well, you know, I'm like, it's not bothering me, you know.
Mm. I mean, hey, that's when you know God has done it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, you know, all I can say is I thank God that he heard me ask him to step in and take control of the situation, because I know that I can't do it alone. I can't do it by myself. Because, I mean, like you indicated earlier, Billy, you know, if we could do, you know, everything on our own, then we wouldn't need God. God wouldn't have to die, you know, on the cross for us. So, you know, but we're not there. So we definitely have to depend on God. That's all we have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how he wants us. He wants us. He said that we're to come to him like little children. Little children don't have a problem asking whatever they want to ask and expect to get it. Expect to get it. So thank you for calling in. And Sharon,
yes, ma'am.
Could you,
we
so enjoyed your testimony this morning, and I just pray that whoever listens in, whoever calls, goes into our archives and listen to the broadcast, that they'll be inspired by your words and know that there is no thing, as Sister Sandra, my mind is just gone this morning, one of the evangelists that used to visit our church, she would say there's no thing hard for God. She didn't say nothing. She said nothing. And I've adapted that. I like saying that. So, babe, do you have anything else to say? We're going to end the broadcast so blessed by the testimony.
No, ma'am, I do not.
Amen. 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 I do want to request prayer for some young cousins of mine. They have gotten themselves into trouble with the law, and it's very serious. But God.
Amen.
So their names are Levante and Marshawn Johnson. And we're just asking God for mercy, and we're asking God for grace for us to be able to withstand whatever, you know, his plans are for them. But just praying. We're going to ask our guest if she would end us in prayer this morning. Again, listen to Pastor Adrian Bernard. She is her first service for New Destiny Ministries is tomorrow, so keep her in your prayers. And her broadcast is Tuesday through Thursday at this same number, A Time of Enlightenment. Tune in, and you will be blessed by the men and women of God that she has preaching and expounding on her broadcast. And then, of course, every Saturday, we're here every Saturday, and we ask you to call in and give your testimony. Let the world know what our God is doing in your life and inspire somebody. Our motto is building faith one testimony at a time. So just call in and give us your testimony. And sis, you can end us.
Heavenly Father, we just come this morning. We want to say thank you. For this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. There is nothing that can happen to us today that you can't handle. So Satan, we bind you right now in the name of Jesus. We cancel every assignment that you sent out against us, because our lives are in the hands of the Lord, and he has all power in his hands. And he's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. God, we thank you for your blood that you shed on Calvary, God. God, I thank you that the blood came streaming down to wash us, to purge us, to cleanse us, God. God, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that daily you create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit. spirit on the inside of us, God. God, I thank you that the veil fall off of our eyes, God, that we can see you, God, and we can walk with you, God, that we can hear your voice so clearly calling us, Father. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we lift your name on high because you alone are worthy, God. You get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor right now, God. God, I thank you, hallelujah, that you go before us, God, and make the crooked places straight right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. God, I thank you right now that we'll open our mouths and we'll speak boldly and declare the word of God, that someone may be saved, that someone may come and give their lives to you, God, because the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. God, we thank you right now, God. We ask that you go before Minister Burns' cousins, God. God, give them an understanding right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, have mercy on them, Father. Be lenient upon them, God. God, I thank you that you'll put laborers in their pathway, godly laborers in their pathway that will draw them closer to you, God. God, we just give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise because you alone are worthy, God. When we woke up this morning, God, we said thank you, God, because we have the activities of our limbs, God. Somebody didn't wake up this morning, God, but you woke us up this morning because you still have need of us, God. So, God, we glorify you and we magnify you, God. And, God, we thank you for this broadcast that reaches around the world and nations to know, to hear the good news that we overcame by the word of, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, God. And, God, we'll go out and we'll tell somebody about your good news. Now, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare a blessing upon Minister Burns and her family right now, God. No. Overflowing increase, God. Every need is met right now, God. God, I decree and I declare chaos. Favor, abundance, overflow, and surplus, God. They'll live in the overflow and give away the surplus, God. And you'll get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, sis, for, I know this is your day of rest. Every Saturday you're in a funeral service, and thank you for taking out the time to grace us this morning. You could have been resting. You didn't have to call in early this morning, but you did, and I just thank God, and I pray, you know, that God's choice blessings be with you continuously.
Yes, amen. I'm more than honored to be a part.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we have come to the end of our broadcast, and you know God is just, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all of our praise and honor. And as they used to say in church, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul, hallelujah, cries out. I praise
hallelujah.
God for saving me, for calling me into this glorious light. Amen, amen. So until next week, we just want to praise him.
I just want to pray
forever, come on.
Forever
and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
Blessings and
glory
and honor.
And honor.
Thank you, Jesus.